Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for being on the call. We've got a couple of things I want to go over. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but sorry I'm running a little late. I was reading the Mueller report. Long way to go. I don't know why. I probably don't need to read the whole thing, but that generally doesn't work up. But I got 42 pages of the 400 or whatever it is read. So anyway, it is interesting. So I'll read it and probably throw it in the trash and forget most of what I read. Okay, sure do appreciate you being with us. And I'm just want to give you a little insight as we look ahead to so many different things. First of all, before we get too far along, excuse me, because I'll forget, I'm afraid I'll forget. I want to thank you for the work that you and I and so many others have come together to do with Preborn, and it is an amazing thing that what has happened, and I'm so excited. I hope today we reach our goal. It looks like we're going to. I won't know probably until tomorrow morning, but it sure looks like we're going to reach that goal. So that is very good news. So we will, and I'm a little concerned because I can't hear. I have no way of knowing, but I'm watching a needle that looks like I can be heard, but I usually hear kind of myself when I'm talking, and I'm not hearing that, but I'm just going to proceed as if I can be heard. So I would assume that somebody would have said something by now if they couldn't hear, if they but anyway, that it's looking like I can go through. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought because I just realized that. Anyway, I thank all of you for what we are doing and what is being done with Preborn. What an amazing 3-day event, so to speak, that we have had. It has just truly been amazing. Oh, thank you. A friend just texted me and said, we can hear you. So good. Anyway, that has been an unbelievable blessing. You know, we set out by Mother's Day to get 1,000 people to sponsor at least one ultrasound test, you know, screening. And that was by Mother's Day. And I talked about doing this campaign through Mother's Day. And we're going to keep going. I don't know if we're going to reach it or not tonight. I guess we'll know. I'll know tomorrow morning and you'll know because you can go on and see. But we are trying to get 1,000. But I told Dan Steiner this morning in the email about 4 o'clock this morning that we need a bigger baby bottle to measure because we're going to keep going. Because, you know, we talked about a match, but this has been so far beyond a match. We've had a donor that is quadrupling or more, you know, 5-6 times what we have given. And boy, I would love to get that to where it is just a 1-for-1 match. That would be a blessing. That would mean, you know, 4 or 5 more thousand people, sponsors. But what I want to do is we now have, and I'm saying now, I'm talking as if it's done. It isn't. You still have work to do, so let's make sure we get it done. But, you know, it is still, we are still at a situation where we are seeing 10 brand new, you know, pregnancy centers getting ultrasound machines. They've been on the waiting list, some of them probably a fairly long time. There's 10 that was on the waiting list. That means they're already pre-qualified, done all the paperwork and ready to get a machine. And now they're all going to be getting a machine because of you. And we will have saved tens of thousands of lives over the next 15 years. It is because that's about how long these machines last. So what an incredible blessing. And I know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing, I'm sure. So what a blessing. And we have so much to be thankful for. So not just this season, but what a great time to be hitting this before Good Friday. And we'll know again tomorrow morning, but such a blessing. But my goal is that we keep going. I originally said it was going to be through Mother's Day, and we're going to go through Mother's Day. We're going to have a Mother's Day for the unborn, a Mother's Day for lives that we have saved that, like in 2019, that has never been seen, and hopefully it'll be a record. Well, hopefully it won't be a record that'll stand forever, but it's going to be a record that's going to stand for a long time. And it's because of your faithfulness to this ministry, to the work that we are doing for the kingdom on a daily basis, or at least making every effort to do work for the kingdom. If you only knew what was going on behind the scenes and other things that we are working on that you will, in the months and years to come, find out and see that you are participating in. So we're so excited about so many things. So here's what I'm thinking. I am a little bit firmer in the camp right now that the odds of us seeing a recession this year are slim to none. I think it's almost an impossibility. And I know that, so there's an index out there that is not widely talked about, but it gauges what GDP is. And so it takes all the data that the government uses and that GDP is calculated on, and it looks at that data. And from that data, it calculates what GDP is looking like it should be. So yesterday, that data went up about 20 basis points, 20/100 of a percent. So it went up a little bit. Today it went up more. It's even up more today. And right now it's looking like we are on track for a potential 2.4% GDP growth number for the first quarter of the year, which would be nothing short of amazement. How many of you have already forgotten that we had the government shut down for the longest time in the history of the nation? I mean, think about that. And yet we could see a 2.4% GDP growth. I'm not saying it's going to be that. We don't have all the numbers in. But nonetheless, pretty amazing. Very positive for the markets and very positive for the country. If we continue on this trend right now for two more months, then it's going to be basically impossible, not totally impossible, but it's so unlikely that we could see a recession this year. It would mean that we would have to have the third and the fourth quarter in negative territory of GDP for us to go into a recession. So from a technical perspective, it's not likely to happen. Is the economy still slowing? Yes. Am I still concerned about certain things? But I'm not concerned. Yes, but I'm not concerned about recession. Not now. And it's kind of nice because there's so many people now jumping into my camp, and I always like to see that, even if they're late. So that's good news, and it's been one of the things that I've been somewhat concerned about as we move forward in the economy. There's an awful lot of money that at the beginning of the year, January, we saw go into bonds, and there was a lot of money going into treasuries, going on the sidelines, I'll just say that. A lot of money flowing out of equities and on the sidelines. Most of this, I'm talking about institutional money flowing out. And they're saying because people are scared, they're concerned, they're flighting to safety, they want to preserve their money. Some of them are never going to go back in the markets and so on and so forth. That's not going to happen. I don't believe that. And I do believe, yes, there may be, may have been some monies flowing on in to cash positions or secure positions. But look, they're going to flow back into the market. So they will be looking, and right now, from what I understand, as of today, they are starting to look for a place to start coming back into the recession. So they missed most of the run-up. Now they're coming in at a high. If they come in at a high, it means the high is going to go higher. So I'm a little bit more hopeful this today than I was 2 weeks ago in reference to us potentially seeing a higher highs from this point on. I have a portfolio that I use on my institutional money that I manage, and it's only a portfolio. I have two portfolios that I've had for many years. The one that I'm about to tell you about has not been that long. It's only been a few years. The other one that I have has been since 1997. And the one since 1997 is up 17% year to date. My short, that's my long portfolio. I don't mean long as in time. I just have a different, nobody, I don't have to talk to anybody about this but myself. So I have terminology that just helps me differentiate things that doesn't make sense. But my long portfolio is up 17%. My short portfolio is up 21%. And so that 21% is a great portfolio, and I'm praying that it's going to be a model for the future. I really believe that some years ago, God gave me that portfolio, and I'm really, really excited about it. I won't go into the details. We don't have time, and I don't want to get into all the details now of how that transpired and how that came about. But nonetheless, doing very well. So as we look forward, next week is going to be a very, very important week. We have 142 S&P companies, 142 S&P 500 companies that are reporting next week. So needless to say, earnings is going to be very much are going to be very, 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 very much in focus next week. Everybody's going to be watching those very closely. I know now we are hearing calls. I haven't talked much about it this week because it's kind of ridiculous to do so, but we're hearing calls about, negative, we're going to have negative earnings season and so on and so forth. Come on, man. We've had like, not even an eighth, not less than that, a sixteenth of the companies that have reported, the most have been in the financial sectors. It is way too early to call that, but it won't be next week. So I think next week we're going to get a real good gauge. We will be about 25% through the reporting season by the end of next week. And that's going to give us a real good indication of where things are going. And I would suspect the reason why we have seen low volume, low volatility this week is everybody's waiting till the end of next week, until these numbers are in. Because on earnings, mainstream media has got everybody so concerned about earnings that even the wisest of investors have taken this wait-and-see attitude to see what happens. So that is something that I am not concerned about. I got to be honest with you. It is not on my radar screen of things that I'm very worried about. Certainly, I want to have a good earnings season, but my expectations have never been double digits for earnings. My expectations have been relatively low, but they have been positive. So, and I do believe still that even, and I'll probably say this even after next week, regardless of what happens next week, if for next week it's looking more negative than positive, I would still say that I still believe that overall we're going to have positive earnings. So, I'm excited about that. I think that is going to be very good for the stability of the markets. I don't mean about the markets going up. I mean for the stability of the markets. So we need to watch those. That's one of the things I'm watching about. Still, my biggest concern, and I've said that before. So we have Commerce Bank reporting. They're searching for a buyer. It looks like this UniCredit might have some interest in buying that bank. Deutsche Bank is still very much in big trouble. One of their largest French banks, France being the second largest economy, is laying off 1,600 people, and they're trying to regroup and get their act together. There's a bank called SocGen, and they're cutting 1,600 employees, and all of this in an effort to lift up profits. So they're struggling. Italian banks, everybody is acting as if they don't even exist. They don't even want to see them. They don't want to look at reports. They don't want to report on the reports. There's a lot of concern in and around the Italian banks still. I am still concerned about Portugal and Spain. I feel better about Spain than I did a month ago, but I'm still concerned. So we'll see that. We haven't seen any of these European banks able to really get things turned around, with the exception of Ireland. And Ireland got things turned around probably 2 years ago, but Ireland was the very first bank to say, "Hey, we got some troubles." And the very first thing Ireland did is said, "We're going to deal with this ourselves and try to get out of this trouble." Now, that didn't work. They did come a long way, but they just reached a point where they had to take some bailout money from the European Central Bank. But Ireland's been the only one that's been able to pull this off so far, and that would be because they have great GDP growth. So you've got all these other banking and financial sector institutions in the Eurozone, and we're watching German manufacturing almost collapse for all practical purposes. They got a little bit of a bump up this week, but nonetheless, in big, big trouble. You've got the same with France. France has nothing to collapse. That's how bad they are. Same thing with Italy. They're the three largest economies. Northern Europe is hanging in okay, but Switzerland had huge manufacturer declines and exports of manufacturing goods. That is a problem, and that is a concern. Most of those are being exported to areas in the Eurozone. And Switzerland machinery, if any of you are in large manufacturing of any kind, you will know that the machinery on the lines of manufacturing that come out of Switzerland are some of they're the best in the world. And so it is, and it is a big, big, big issue for Switzerland. And they're seeing that drop dramatically. They are taking a look at about cutting rates in their banking system as well. So there's some concern. When we start to see some current concern in Switzerland, that's a problem. We've got a lot of concern in Japan that I have been very concerned about. I would say that has been exacerbated a little bit. My concern as I start to see some inflation and deflation coming into both China and Japan, and that is a problem. We know China had a very good number in GDP. That is good news. They're looking at a 6.5% growth. That caught everybody by surprise, but this is China. It's a communist regime. They can say whatever they want to say. There's no accountability and no way to check up on anything. So we don't know. We don't know, but that's what they've said. But here's the interesting part. The very same time they said that, very same time, they said to Japan, you know what, we shouldn't be competitors. We have to stop all this competing against each other. We need to come together and see what we can do. This is China, folks. They despise what Japan does with every fiber of their being. The last thing they would ever want to do is talk to Japan about having some sort of competitiveness agreement. It's the last thing they want to do. They're doing it because they've got to be a lot more desperate than anybody thinks. That's just my opinion from watching the behavior. So nobody has said that. It's not written anywhere. That's just my gut feeling about it. All that to say, we've got major concerns with the banking system in Europe, and I'm very concerned about it because it will come home here to America. Count on it. And so right now that's still my biggest concern, and that's my biggest worry. And the second biggest worry that I still have, although it is a little bit less than it was since the last conference call, I'm worried about trade. So apparently the government has heard my cries and my not-so-flattering speech in reference to the fact that our government can't juggle one ball more than one ball at a time, so therefore we're never going to get any trade deals for the next several years because they're going to only do one thing at a time. The end of last week, they announced they were talking to Japan. Now, I'm not sure they're juggling another ball because they're not doing any talking to China right now. So maybe they just put that ball down so they picked another one up temporarily. I think Japan was the wrong move. It's a necessary move. It's one we got to go, but I wish they would have concentrated on the Eurozone. So I think we're missing a lot of issues that should be a concern to America and the American economy based on trade. And I think, in my opinion, the most critical thing this president could do right now is do every possible thing he could do to make sure we get trade agreements and that we get them soon, like by the end of the third quarter of this year. And that's all, as far as I'm concerned, all of his efforts, all of his economic council people, obviously his Commerce Department, all of the guns that he can muster need to be working on this battle of trade. We've got to get going. We've got to get Japan done. We got to get the EU done. We got to get North America done. We don't even have a trade agreement solidified with Canada. We've got to get that deal done. We've got to get to South America We've got to move quickly to South America. We got to get some deals done down there as well. So we have a lot of work to do. Not to mention the rest of the Pacific Rim, the rest of Asia. So, you know, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, Vietnam, Indonesia, New Zealand, Australia, that's, you know, that's the Philippines, you know, that's the Pacific Rim. We got to get working on the rest of that, and we've got to do it in short order or stick with what it was and chase it another time. I don't really want to do that, but that would be the other option. So my concerns right now, I'm not changing. The last conference call I talked about, I think we're going to see cash positions changing dramatically. We could still see that, but I don't think it's going to be anything dramatic. I feel like we've got some time. I'm not so anxious about everybody that is not in the market getting in the market. And I know I know I appear as though, if you're a listener, that I send mixed signals. I'm not sending this mixed signals. So people that are already in the market, I treat very differently than people that are not in the market. And so people that are not in the market, they missed some of the best years in the nation's history and in the market history. So what's another year? And that's kind of the stance that I'm taking. So after all these years of missing the market, should you be jumping in now when markets are at a historical high? It doesn't seem to me that it would make a lot of sense. So those people that are out, I'm saying, not in these words, obviously, hey, you know, sorry about that, but, you know, what were you thinking? So, and I know what they were thinking. They were reading the blogs. They were reading the gold and silver publications. They were reading the doom and gloom folks that have books to sell, software programs to sell, and insurance to sell. So they were listening to all that. They were reading all of that. And they got in the place that is one of the worst places we can be, and that is information overload, to where you just don't do anything because it is impossible to discern good from bad. And the only way that you can fight against that is don't try to discern because you don't have anything to think about. Stay away from it. I hate to say this because it's probably not the best course of action, but I'll say it anyway. If you have somebody you trust, like financial issues, then either trust them or don't trust them. If you have a financial advisor you trust, either trust them or don't trust them. And stop reading and looking at all these other things. I wouldn't say that if I knew that everybody was reading the right information. But they're not reading the right information because most of you don't have access to the right information or wouldn't know where to begin to get it. It's not widely publicized, because it's economic data, and it's data that they don't need to get out there to the general public. As a matter of fact, it's not intended for that. So, you know, we've one of the greatest things that has happened to all of our partners is so many of you have totally changed your attitude and you're staying in the markets. You haven't been concerned. I mean, I talked to a few people. I had somebody last week, every once in a while, that got out on Christmas Eve, you know, that got out when the market crashed, and, you know, everybody was using that. So you remember, that's when all the conspiracy theory guys, all the people that have written books and have software programs and are going to save the world from economic collapse, that's when they go into a frenzy pitch. So the very time the market's crashing, you're going to hear from them. Trust me, they're going to show up on your computer screen. You're going to excuse me, get an email, a call or something. So we've got to be extra cautious when things go bad. So one of the greatest things that's happened with our partners is you guys have been staying put, and that has been an incredible blessing. So I am still focused. I'm still worried on global economy far more than I am here. I don't think we live in a bubble, and I don't think we live in an island where we can isolate our economic situation and that's all we got to worry about. That is not the case. We don't live in that kind of world, but we can go for a little bit longer in a somewhat isolationist mode and be able to survive. But we are getting very close to that point where we need some global help. And right now, I don't know where it's going to come from. I think it could come from South America faster than it could come from Eurozone, but we haven't done anything in South America. We're not even down there talking to people. So we have got to still be cautious. So when I say I'm not going to change my cash positions a great deal, it means that I am not going to be adding, making it larger. It's going to get smaller because in a couple of weeks, the to-be-announced is going to be announced, and you'll use whatever that was in your asset allocation model that you now have on the sidelines in cash. You'll now get that invested. So that's going to lower your cash position a little bit as you begin to get invested either as an income portfolio or as a growth portfolio to certain percentages. I don't know that the percentages are going to be exactly what I had for to be announced. I suspect they're going to be lower than that. So you might have more extra cash than you need. So I don't want you to not be in the markets. I want you to be in the markets, and I want you to stay. I don't want you not to add positions and continue to fill your asset allocation model. I want you to keep doing it. I want you to keep working on that diversification. What I am concerned about is people that aren't in the market at all and deciding now everybody's happy and things are good and I should try to get in. They're the people that I worry about. So if you are somebody that is just thinking about doing that and you do it anyway, you need to do it with the mindset no matter what happens, you're not going to get out. Because you'll get killed if you get, you know, if you get in, if you go in and out, you're gonna lose more money than you can imagine if you do that. So if you were to get in, you got to stay in. And I don't have enough faith in people to suggest that on my list somewhere and expect them to do that. I just don't. I'm sorry, and I don't want to get anybody hurt, and I don't want anybody to be hurt. Because they are not following along with the program. So I would say, if this makes any sense, which it really doesn't, but I told you last time on a conference call, I don't have a red light flashing, but I do have a yellow light, and I do have a proceed with caution light. And I would say, if this makes any sense, that yellow light is getting a little more less bright. I don't know. I don't know what color makes green and yellow. I don't know what colors they make. I'm not. I don't know that that stuff. I don't. But yellow. Well, you know what? I think yellow and brown. Yellow and green might make brown, right? I think. I don't know. But it is changing color a little bit. It's getting a little bit closer to being green. And so I feel good about that. Because I got to tell you, last conference call, I didn't feel so good about it. There's too many things happening. But the biggest problem that I have still, and it's not going to go away, but I'll say it again, is the geopolitical and the political events here in America. It looks like we may today have gotten some uncertainty out of the way. I don't know that we've got, we're going to have fewer investigations and all of that. And I told you I'm reading this report, and I'm going to come up with some assessments just for my own benefit, and maybe I'll share with the listeners my thoughts about it. But from what I've read, and I shouldn't even comment. I've read 42 pages. So from what I've read, I think it is so amazing what I see. And I mean in a positive way. I think it's absolutely amazing. So I'm going to keep reading, and I'm sure I have it read by Saturday, I would imagine. But we'll get through it. And you got to remember, this is government. This is government. When you read anything from the government, the margins are like, you know, 3 inches or some ridiculous thing, and they're double spaced and, you know, big spaces between paragraphs. So, you know, this 400 pages in a normal situation would probably be about, you know, 60. I mean, it's that bad. So, well, maybe not that much, but 100. Anyway, so we'll get through that and we'll look at it, but I don't expect any, I do think that the markets are going to react in a positive way, and I want to look before I say that. Yeah, they are. The Dow's up 118 points, so the Dow's up a half of 1%, well off its lows. So, you know, the markets are feeling a little bit good about the other report. There's no other economic data that's driving that other than this report. So that is good. Look, I don't care if the markets are just sold out far, far, far left-wing Democrats, which a lot of them are. There's one thing that they have in common with each other. They love to make money. They, as a matter of fact, that's their God, and they worship it, and they care deeply about it. And then on top of that, you've got a greed factor that is very, very high. And when you put those two things together, it doesn't matter what they say privately or publicly about this president. They love his pro-growth agenda, and they love what it's done for them and what it's done to the markets. They love it. And the last thing they want are the radicals that they support financially, pat on the back, give a high five to, tell them how great they are in public. They love the popularity of going with the what they perceive, which they're wrong, what they perceive as the populace. You know, it is, and this is proof of it. You know, we see the Dow up half of 1%. So it is getting a little bit more positive, but we're not going to see big swings on the upside in the markets because of the 142 companies that are reporting. So right now, and I'll probably do another conference call, whether it's live like this or it's going to be a pre-recorded one that I put up, but I'm going to probably do another conference call towards the beginning of the week after next, as we look at what the impact of this is having, and see if I get a little more pessimistic or can gain a little bit more optimism. So, look, as we head into the holiday and to this the day of resurrection that we are so joyful about, just keep sitting tight. You guys are doing a great job, and you're smarter than you've ever been. And you just keep getting better and better and understand more understanding than ever. And just hang tight. You're in it for the long term. I get all the time. I had about 6 questions today from people that were asking me about a particular stock. And I know they weren't in it more than 6 months. And so, you know, don't stop. You're just going to lose sleep. And don't worry about what's going on in the next in 2 years that you've owned the stock. You're in it for the long term. And so there was a study being done, and I found it, and I'm going to include it in my my town hall meeting, the live town hall meeting I'm doing, but it shows the probability of your portfolio being down based on the length of time that you are investing. If you are invested somewhere 8 years, let's say, your probability of a negative portfolio is about 1%. Once you get to 9 to 10 years and beyond, the probability of a negative portfolio is zero. Zero. That is the probability. It's based on historical data, I think going back to 1913. That if you're in it for the long term, I say with an awful lot of confidence on a regular basis, don't worry about it, you're going to be fine, because the probability is on my side, and you're going to think I'm smart because I said that. Don't think I'm smart. Statistically, that's the way it is. What you can thank me for is is helping you stay in and not get out and do anything ridiculous. You should see how the probability goes when you get out for 4 or 5 days. Changes everything depending on those 4 or 5 days. So, you know, stay put. Don't worry about it. Don't be concerned. You're going to have some wild stocks. A lot of you have small cap stocks and micro cap stocks. They're going to be very volatile through all of this. They operate under a totally different way of operating compared to a mid-cap or a large-cap company. So you need to be you need to understand that and be aware of that. So when the mid-caps and the large-caps are doing nothing, they could be down 30%. It's the nature of that beast. And if you choose to be in that kind of volatility, then you've got to be rock solid in your ability to stay in and not move. So I would just say to you that, you know, be steadfast in that strategy and in your desires to be biblically responsible. I'm very excited about opportunities that are coming up. I'm very excited about some things that are on my analytic list. I think at the end of this first quarter, when we get all the reports, I see a lot of stocks. I've got a lot of stocks that are in. This will be the seventh quarter of analysts. Usually, I either add or drop after 6 quarters, and so I got a lot that are in the seventh quarter. A couple that are in the eighth quarter that I'm still watching and I feel good about. And then I've got a whole bunch in that six quarter category, and you know I think we're going to see some more coming on to the buy list and the broad list. So I feel really good. Some other innovative kind of ideas that I am working on are some. I'll call them what they are, even though you might not know that term. But some hybrid fixed income investments. So I'm watching those close. I'm talking to a firm right now in Boston to see if there's a way we can utilize some hybrid investments with a pooled money source. And I'm looking at that, and because most of those hybrids require at least $1 million minimum. So if we can pool together, have an opportunity where we guarantee them a pool of well over $1 million if they allow us to do it. We're trying to figure out ways that we can structure that. I'm not making promises, but some of the companies that I've talked to, and this one in particular in Boston, seems to be very amenable to the idea. So I'm working on those kinds of things as well. So we got a lot going on. I'm very excited about, and a lot going on in the ministry. So I would just ask you, on this weekend as we celebrate the resurrection, that you would obviously first and foremost be mindful of the Passion on Friday and praise God. Praise God for that. Praise Jesus for not giving the cup over and to being our Savior. And, you know, as we celebrate on Sunday the resurrection, to just be ever mindful that we have a living God that's all-knowing God. He knows what we do, even with our investments. He knows every grain of sand he can number on the beach, and yet he is still and able to counsel us and be with us and help us in what we're trying to do with the money that he's provided us. So we continue to give it over to him, and we can thank him for that this weekend in our time of worship and with family. So I would just ask you to pray for your wisdom. Pray for financial issues, please. We need your prayers. And just continue to pray for the work that God is putting before us at a very frantic pace a very nerve-wracking pace and a very scary pace. And of course, we don't move until the money's raised up, but just pray about all that and to keep us calm, as I do everything I can to keep you all calm as we think about what's happening in the markets. So I pray that you have a wonderful day with family and loved ones on Sunday. I hope you have an opportunity to share this gospel message, death, burial, and resurrection of a living God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope that you have opportunities to speak that clearly to some friends and family, and to rethink those very things as you might have an opportunity to share them with someone else. So it is, we are blessed, and I'm blessed through God's people, and through obviously by the grace of God and some of the things that he's doing. So we're very excited, and I pray and hope that you all, everybody listening, can give $28. $28. Maybe you've already done it. That's a wonderful thing. If you can do it again between now and Mother's Day, I hope you will. $28. I'm not going to ask you to do five for 140 or anything. You know what? If you've done some, one more is a beautiful thing. If you haven't done any, one is a beautiful thing. And we're doing a mighty work with $28. And you know, this is another ministry's work. And you know, this other ministry obviously is growing and doing well through all of this, and that's a wonderful thing. We're staying the same. We're honoring God. And so the growth that we're getting out of what we're doing is not coming from donors or partners or people that are doing this. It's just coming because we're being obedient to God. And we don't know what kind of form it's coming in or how it's going to come or what it's going to lead to. But we do know that we are being blessed. But you know my heart. You hear the nature of me, and you understand I'm not doing it for that blessing. I know it's there because God promises us it will be. That's not why we do it. We do it because we're passionate about this work of God. So we are grateful, and just pray that you would be obedient if God's nudging you to save the life of a baby by sponsoring one of these tests, ultrasounds, a sonogram, that these young ladies will get. And we just pray that you would support one of them. So we're looking forward to see what we can do for these 10 new centers that are getting machines, you know, if all goes well tonight, by to the end of today. And we can give them more to really jumpstart their work with this ultrasound. So hopefully you'll participate in that and pray about it with your family over Easter. Anyway, and you can go on financialissues.org or preborn.org, and you can link to it from the baby bottle on our website. You can click on, and my guess is I hope tomorrow it'll be filled, the baby bottle, unless we got a bigger bottle. So, but you'll be able to track it and see how we're doing. I want to thank all of you. I appreciate you so much, more than words could ever tell, more than I could ever mention to you. I just can't. I can never put into words. And so many of you listening are great partners of this ministry and great donors, and I could never express my appreciation. I know I struggle, and I apologize with the letters and the thank yous and all the things that ministries do that I should be doing. But you know, to get out all the mail and to be sending emails and letters every day asking for money, I can't bring myself to do that, and I don't think I need to. I am walking by faith that all of you that are being touched by God to support this ministry are going to be obedient to God. And that's what we're working on. But I'm going to try this year to do a better job at some of that. And we'll work on it. We'll continue to work on it. So, but I appreciate all of you, and I thank you so much. I really pray that your resurrection, your day of celebration of the resurrection on Sunday, is a wonderful blessing and peaceful celebration. And I thank all of you, and I pray that none of you that I'm talking to in East Texas and those areas that from what we heard up here on the news, got hit with maybe several tornadoes. So I pray it was none of you. And, you know, I pray that you stay safe. I guess it's that season. I don't know anything about tornadoes. I think you're supposed to go in the tub or something if that happens. But I don't even know that. I was in Mississippi when a tornado hit, and I had no clue what to do. And you know what I did? I just went back into bed because I figured, oh, well, it's my time. It's my time. Since I don't know what to do, I'm not going to stress over it. So, but I don't know. We don't have tornadoes. So we are blessed that way, although we had two last week in our county, which was a big deal on the news because we don't get things like that. But nobody knew what to do, of course. Anyway, I thank you, and sure appreciate all of you. Have a wonderful Easter. Blessings to your family, your loved ones, and I pray that you will know all of God's joy, peace, love, blessings this weekend and from that moment on as we think about what he has done for us. Have a great day. God bless. I sure appreciate you being on the call, and we'll talk to you again real soon. God bless.